Hey, so one of the books that I've been reading for, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years, and it's a book that I read, or I also listen to it when I'm driving, but one of the books that I listen to and read at least once a year, if not more, is a book by a guy named Philip Keller, and it's called The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Anybody here read that before? The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm? Man, it's worth reading again, again, again. The dude was a shepherd in Palestine, here in America, in different places. It was one of those books that he was just anointed to write. Later, people were like, oh, you're a gardener. Write one on the fruit of the Spirit. He did, and it wasn't anything as good as his first one. But anyways, he wrote some sequels. But A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, and he puts it all in perspective from the 23rd Psalm of who we are as sheep. And after years and years of taking care of sheep, he sees the similarities. And he lets us know of those. And so, I'm preaching from the Bible today, but I want to start off by sharing some of the things at the beginning of this book. And it's based again on Psalm 23 with David. And David was a shepherd. And, you know, just like Paul, when Paul was chained to prisoners, he's like, oh, yeah, those shoes remind me of what I have. Oh, that shield reminds me. You know, everywhere these guys looked, they saw life from God's perspective. And so as David was out there with his sheep, man, he was just thinking about his relationship with God Almighty. And so, you know, the psalm, it starts with, how does the psalm start, y'all? The Lord is my shepherd, I what? Hey, how's that worked for y'all this week? Has that worked for y'all? Lord is my shepherd. Ashley, the Lord's your shepherd. I don't need anything, man. I am totally cool. I am content. Everything is great. Was that like 24/7? It was a struggle, yes, all right? Anybody else struggle with that? But again, that's why we see life from God's perspective. We got to be around people to help us see life from God's perspective. We help each other see it. But because here's what David's saying, man, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, man, you know, like I'm the shepherd for the sheep. What was David willing to do for the sheep? Die, man. He beat up lions. He killed lions with his bare hands, man. He would stay up all night with them. He spent all the time, effort, energy, put everything he had. And so he's like, God, you know, that's like, man, I'm nothing. I'm just an understudy. But God, the Lord, he's my shepherd. And in this book, the guy starts out by saying that a sheep can do nothing to take care of themselves. The quality of a sheep's existence is wholly and solely dependent upon the shepherd. So he said, man, you know, I would take care of my sheep. I would love my sheep, man, and I'd have them. They'd be penned in, and then I would see neighbor sheep coming and neighbor sheep sticking their head through the barbed wire, wanting to be in my fold because they weren't being taken care of by their sheep. And he starts talking about it from the perspective of his believers, that when those other sheep in the other fold come looking, wanting to be part of our fold, we get to invite them in. He didn't have that liberty, but he said the whole shepherd's the sheep's existence depended upon their shepherd. And with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. We don't need anything. Anything we need, he's taken care of, he's provided. And so you guys know that part. So he says, what's the very first part? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything. He takes care of it all. In fact, doesn't God promise to meet all our needs? Right? He's met all our needs. How's that work for y'all this week? I don't need anything. You know, well, again, we've got to see life from his perspective. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what's the first thing in that psalm that he says he provides? He makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't know if you know much about sheep, but he goes through the whole thing about sheep are skittish, man. They're like, you know, well, first of all, they're top heavy. They can fall over. They're always injuring themselves. They're always getting diseases. They're always getting messed up. They're always worrying, man. Sheep are always worrying. How'd y'all do with that this week? You know, they're worrying. They're just like walking around like this. And he's like, calm down. And they're like, I am, you know. And so it's important for these sheep to be able to lie down in the green pasture that God had, that the shepherds made for them. And he talked about in Palestine how what he would do, this is how, first of all, you have to raise sheep in an arid climate. You notice we don't raise them in a swamp. Can you imagine a sheep being raised in a swamp, man? All the stuff that would live inside there. You guys with like frizzy hair know the stuff lives inside. Mosquitoes, you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Find a caterpillar in there. But man, you got to raise them in an arid, dry climate. But yet they can be
they need water. It's just a hard thing to do. So he said, man, we would, in Palestine, what they would do is they would go to the most driest, rocky area they could find, and the shepherd would grab a rock, a big rock, and he'd walk that rock all the way to the edge where the pasture was that he was going to make, and he would lay that rock down. He'd go back in the middle again and grab another rock and another rock, and he would build a wall with all of the rocks. So he would just keep going until he had a wall around so that he could protect his sheep. And then now, on top of that, so you've got, how many of y'all, you know, would like to just carry that many rocks? In my younger days, maybe, but I'm just saying, it's like, man, he had to build that wall. And now it's just dirt. It's clay. It's rock. It's just arid. It's dry. And the sheep need a green pasture. How many of y'all have a green pasture at your house? How many of y'all had a green pasture at one time? How many of y'all know how hard it is to keep a green pasture? Now we hire people, right, Terry? You know, but man, taking care of your yard, your lawn. How hard is that? Sometimes we don't get the rain, we don't get whatever. It's like, oh my goodness, look at my yard. It's full of weeds. It's full of this. It's full of bugs. So could you imagine what the shepherd had to do to make a green pasture for his sheep? First of all, he'd take the rocks out and he would make a wall. Then he would have to find some way to dig ditches in the rock to irrigate it. And then once he irrigated it, he would have to take care of it to make it a lush, green pasture. And then once it's a lush, green pasture, now the sheep, what do they got to worry about? They've got walls around them. They've got the green pasture. And he says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. Why does he have to make us lie down? How many of y'all have to be made to lie down and rest in green pasture? Yeah. And now, here's what he talks about in this book, in this first part. And this is the thing I think of all the time. Is he says there's three things usually that'll stop a sheep from being able to relax and rest in the green pasture. And he said the first thing are bugs. Bugs, all right? And everybody say bugs, just to know your life. Bugs, yeah. How many of y'all got bugs? Anybody got bugs? You got bugs? You live in a condo, you got bugs. You live in a neighborhood, you got bugs. You go to work, you got bugs. You got snowbird traffic, you got bugs. You know, no matter where you go, there's going to be bugs. But anyways, so if you want to think of bugs in life, think of no-see-ums, all right? How many of y'all know what no-see-ums are, right? Everybody here knows what no-see-ums are. And no-see-ums, I mean, I can remember going fishing back here when there used to be fish back here, and you'd have to be in the water way before first light. And as soon as you stopped your truck and you were getting your rods out and getting everything, you had no-see-ums and mosquitoes all over. You're breathing them in. You remember when I used to take you guys when you were little, Ashley? Yeah, you'd be breathing in mosquitoes and no-see-ems, you know, breathing them in. And then you'd go in the water and dunk yourself because they can't swim. But how hard is it to concentrate when you're being bugged by bugs? Man, you're just like, I thought I tied a good knot. No, I just lost a $10 lure. Oh, you know, whatever. You mess up when you don't think straight. But how many of y'all get bugged by bugs on a daily basis? Any of y'all got any bugs you can think of? Close your eyes and think, God, show me a bug. Anybody got any bugs? How many of y'all didn't even have to close your eyes? You know who your bugs are, right? And so when you've got people bugging you, you've got situations bugging you, you've got things bugging you, you got a leg that's bugging you, it's your own body that's bugging you, whatever. Man, when you got these bugs going on, it's hard to concentrate. And so if you were a sheep, you know, can a sheep take care of their bugs? First of all, no-see-ums and mosquitoes. What do we do? What do we do when we get a no-see-um or mosquito? A mosquito, what do you do? Yeah, dude, how many of y'all let it go? Whoop, 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 and they go, pshaw, you're not getting anybody again, you know? It's like, boom. But sheep, what do they have? Do they have hands that they can slap mosquitoes with? Dude, Dylan, what do they got? Can you imagine if you had a hoof and you had to slap mosquitoes, dude? I'm talking like you're whacking yourself in the head with a hoof. Can you imagine that, Kurt? You got a mosquito. Now you can just do this. Now you'd be like, oh, you're putting holes in your body. Can a sheep take care of its own bugs? No. Can a sheep pull out its bug spray and go spray? No, it doesn't even have a finger. And it doesn't have a pocket to put it in. A sheep can't spray its own bug spray. A sheep can't swat its own bugs. What can a sheep do against the bugs? Absolutely nothing. So who does a sheep have to count on to take care of its bugs? The shepherd. And believe, sheep live outside, dude. There's bugs. And so when they're out there and there's bugs everywhere, man, they can't do anything. And so the guy goes into great detail to talk about how he as a shepherd had to take care of the bugs. He said he would get lindane. I don't know, anybody know what lindane is? It's a pesticide. One time I went to Trinidad and I was playing with these two little baby twins, man. And I had the greatest time. And I came back from Trinidad. So I used to bring teams back and forth into Trinidad. And I'd always be out in the countryside. I stay out of cities, man. I'd be in the country. And I came back and I started getting these welts and itches. And I went to the doctor and he's like, oh, you have scabies. And I'm like, scabies? What's that? He said, body lice. You haven't been around anybody. I was like, oh, only my family. And, you know, and I've sat on every couch and then laid on every bed. But so he made me take lindane. Oh, I've never had to take lindane. It was a poison. It's a pesticide. I had to smear it all over my entire body and leave it on for 24 hours. It was the most horrible smell and the most horrible feeling. And I wasn't allowed to sit on anything or lay on anything. I just like, you know. So was that a pleasurable experience? No. So the shepherd talks about how he would have to take this lindane. He would have to take different pesticide salves. And he has to literally sit on his sheep. And he would literally rub it into their skin and put it on their face and put it, and did the sheep like how he was taking care of the bugs? Not at all, but it was necessary in order to take care of the bugs. And the shepherd had the wisdom to know how to take care of the bugs. He had the ability to. Again, what could the sheep do for the bugs? Nothing. So let me ask you, what can you do for the bugs in your life? What can you do? How many of y'all say nothing? No, Terry and I were talking about all the different horn signals we have to try to take care of bugs on the road with us, right? You know, beep, 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 you know, different. How many of y'all try to take care of your own bugs? How many of y'all have ever gotten in trouble taking care of your own bugs? The things that are bugging you, oh, I can fix that. Well, I'll solve that. Chuck, you ever done that? Somebody bugging you? Yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, man. How many of y'all ever hired people to take care of your bugs? You know? Not saying you do that, Chuck, but I'm just saying, you know. But who's the only one that can take care of the bugs for the sheep? Who's the only one that can take care of the bugs for us? But yet, we have hands and not hoofs. We have resources, so often we try to take care of the things that are bugging us. And when we try to take care of those things that are bugging us, man, we're focused now on the irritations and the things that are bugging us, and we're not focused on who? Whereas if we would believe the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything. I don't need to take care of my bugs. He's going to take care of my bugs. He may not take care of it immediately in the way you want it to be done, but if you wait on him, he will take care of the bugs in your life. And as he takes care of those bugs in his way, who are we focusing on? Him. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We're supposed to, in the New Testament, seek always the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's he going to add to us? Everything we need, including pest control. He'll take care of everything if we make him the center of it. But when we are tempted and we think we are equipped to take care of our own bugs, man, now we're preoccupied and we are focused on taking care of our bugs instead of him. And how much joy is in our life? Now we wonder why we say, oh, the Lord's my shepherd, but I have to take care of my own bugs. The Lord's my shepherd, but I shall not want except for this and this and this and this and this. But the more we focus totally on him, the more we depend on him, the more we worship him, the more we count on him like our shepherd to be the reason or, you know, why our existence is the way it is, man. The more we focus and have him, the more we can worship him, the more we will have, what do we got, Chuck? Peace. Yeah. How much peace you got when you're trying to take care of all, when all of a sudden there's a swell and you're now surfing with 500 of your best buddies from South Florida? How much peace is there? Are those bugs? Yes. Lord Jesus, take care of these bugs, man. And you know what? Often he wants to shape us in that. We don't like the way he takes care of the bugs. But he takes care of them better than anything. So he said, man, I'll tell you what, I would go through and spend hours rubbing pesticides on my sheep, combing out, getting stuff out of their, whatever that stuff's called, the fleece, the fur, the, I don't know, we don't have them here, but man, he's like, I'd be digging and picking stuff out. I would, now, this sheep is totally good, and it should now be able to lay down in a green pasture, shouldn't it? I mean, if God took care of your bugs, how many of y'all could get some rest? How many of y'all, if he took care of your bugs, all the things bugging you, how many of y'all could go, ah, Calgon, take me away, right? But no, 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 that's not the way it works. He takes care of our bugs. We're taking care of the bugs, and we finally give up. We let him take care of the bugs, and now he takes care of the bugs, finally. He said the next thing that would cause his sheep not to be able to lay down would be the beasts. The beasts, the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, you know, right? The big lions and tigers and bears, because that was real. David had to kill some of those things. And he had a, you know, a brick wall or a rock wall that he had made. And he was out there with a staff. He was out there, and he'd be up at night because, again, what can a sheep? Austin, hey, Austin, you know, don't let her distract you during church, man, all right? Yeah. Was his hands a little ashy? He needs some lotion? Okay, well, I appreciate you caring for him, but Austin, was she bugging you, or you were just trying to help him from not being bugged? That was like poison, you know, Lindane. All right. Yeah, Austin, what can a sheep do if a lion, tiger, or bear comes up to it? They can't fight? I mean, they got these little hoofs, right? Can't you train your, where are my jiu-jitsu and my martial artists and everything? Yeah, Paul, do you think you could train some sheep martial arts, get them a good dojo and teach them? Ooh, I mean, they've got these things, right? You know? Where are my gun people, man? Can't we hook them up with some ARs? You know? Come on, baby, bring it on. You know, it's like, what could a sheep do against a bear, a lion, tiger, or bear? What can they do, Austin? Absolutely what? Absolutely nothing. Exactly. Wow, you got one giving you breath mints, and you got one giving you, man, I don't know. I'd be checked. This guy okay, y'all? No, I'm not. I haven't picked on you in a while, Austin, right? So if God takes care of all, the shepherd takes care of all the bugs for him, but then now they can't rest because they've got all the beasts that are coming in. And they did have beasts at night. Beasts are defined as things that are so big in our life that we don't have any way of defending ourselves against. Things that you're just throwing your hands up and saying, God, I got no clue what's going next, but I am yours, and you do your thing. How many of y'all got some beasts in your life? Anybody got any beasts in your life? Wow, I'm going to pray that you do. No. How many of y'all got beasts in your life? You got big things that, like, dude, you can't, I got no control. I don't know what's next, but God does. And again, but we've got to come to the conclusion that we can't take care of the beasts. We're like a sheep compared to a lion, a sheep compared to a bear. We, as big and bad and resourced we as we think we are, we can't do anything. It's if we do, what are we focusing on? If we're trying to take care of the beast in our life, what is our focus of life now? The beast. And what should the focus of our life be? Yeah, wouldn't it be much better to focus on God and watch God take care of the beast? Wouldn't that be a better way? That's how God's designed it for us. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He put those words in David's mouth. It's all God breathed. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want, you know what, dude? There's a big lion right on the other side. He could jump this and he could roll me. He could eat me. But I'm not worried. Why? Because of who? The shepherd. I'm not worried. Because remember, sheep are all worried all the time for the bugs. I got bugs all over me. Oh, I got no bugs. Well, now I got beasts. Oh, my goodness, I got beasts. And they are things that the world worries about, right? But we don't. It's, in fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7, it says, worry or have anxiety about what? What? Nothing. Even beasts and bugs? We shouldn't have to worry about those things? Man, no. He said, worry or have anxiety over nothing. Everything that brings you anxiety, he says, have anxiety over nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. So whenever you have thoughts of anxiety, when you start worrying, you start being upset, you start, whoa, you know, thinking about the big beast and the little bugs and all those, he says, worry about nothing but in everything by prayer. So you take those thoughts that are in your head, because that's where it's at this point. Oh, no, you don't know this neighbor. They're not there. Here they come. And so take the thoughts, take the feelings, take everything that's going on in you and turn it into a conversation with God. Because, Julia, the difference between prayer and worry is what? Who are you talking to, y'all? The difference between prayer and worry is who you're talking to. When you're talking to yourself, what's that? When you're talking to each other about it. A lot of times, yeah, you're worried. When you're talking to God, it's what? So, dude, how many of y'all worry? How many of y'all worry? And you're like, oh, I worry and it's a sin, and now I'm worried about worrying because it's worrying is a sin, and I'm messed up because I always worry. And I'm like, dude, all you have to do is bring God in on the conversation. Now guess what it is? It's prayer, and now it's legal. It's like, woo! Now you're super spiritual. You just went from being a big worried heathen to now being spiritual because you're talking to God. You understand how easy that is? The difference between prayer and worry is who you're talking to. So he says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything with, what's the next word? Anybody know that verse? Because we've talked about this a lot. What is the word?
Everything you think.
Yeah, well, that's next. That's next. But he says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything with supplication. And that's what we don't have time to do, y'all. We ain't got time to supplicate in this world. I got too busy a schedule. I got too many self-imposed limits. I got too many self-imposed deadlines. I got to have time to supplicate. What is supplicate, Cindy? What does it mean to supplicate with the Lord? Oh, just, yeah. And is he like going, oh, God, there's Cindy again. No. Is that what he's doing? No. In fact, as soon as you start supplicating, he's like, yes, it's Cindy. Oh, my goodness. She's going to supplicate. He loves supplicating with you. Supplicating is pouring your heart out. Everything you're upset, tell God how you would like to see the problem solved. Tell him what you would like to see happen in it, even if it's wrong. Dear God, I pray that you would send a lightning bolt and give my neighbor a new hairdo. And God's like, wow, you know, that's really how you feel. Talk to him about that. Even if you want something wrong, if it's bad, if it's whatever, who better to talk you out of something stupid than God? And so, man, when you talk to him about this situation that's in your life, instead of worrying, you're worrying and that's sinful, now you talk to him, it's what? Prayer, you're talking to him, now he actually cares. How many of y'all know that sometimes when you talk to people, they don't really care? How many of y'all know that they care the first time they hear it? And then the second time, they're like, in their head, I've already heard this. Or, I'm going to try to, I love this person, so I'm going to listen again, but I really don't care because I already know how the story goes. God already knows how the story goes, and he cares. Tell it to me again, because you know what his favorite thing in the world is to have intimate fellowship with you. Fernanda, that's what he wants, is intimate fellowship with you. He wants you pouring your heart out to him. Isn't that awesome to know that? You're not bugging God. I know people that call me, hey, I didn't really want to bug you with this. Well, then why did you? No, I'm just like, if that's what you think you're doing, but if I love you, which I do, then you're not bugging me. And God loves you way more than I could ever love you. God loves you. You're never bugging him. He's the one who designed this system to worry about nothing and to pray about everything. And with supplication, tell him. Just have it out. Most of the time I ask people sometimes, well, what are you worried about? What do you think's going to happen? What do you want to see happen? I don't know. Well, wow, you haven't put much effort into this situation, have you? No. All my effort's been into worrying. All my effort's been into like, woo, freaking out over it. The effort God wants you to put in is to start thinking, what would you really like to see happen? And again, there's times where I tell him, Salma, I tell him sometimes, I'd like to see this happen. And God's like, really? Is that what you'd want to have happen if it was you? And I'm like, oh, no, let's tone this one down a little bit. You know? We talk it out with God. We speak and we hear him. He speaks to our heart. He brings up scripture because that's how he speaks to us. But supplication is crucial, and most people don't have time for supplication. All we have time is to whine out a prayer and, oh, dear God, I'm throwing it in your hands, and we go on to the next thing of life. When in reality, sometimes God may allow those things in our life just because he wants that intimacy with us. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, you know, whether it's the bugs, whether it's the beasts, and again, in that Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7 in there, he says, worry about nothing, pray about everything with supplication, and then with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you know what that means? The very thing that's bringing you anxiety, Tom, you go, all right, God, why should I be grateful for this situation? Sometimes God gives you a hilarious answer. Sometimes he gives you a serious one. I've shared all of these things before. If you've ever talked with me, man, I'm not even preaching on this. This is just lanyap, all right? I ain't got to the message yet, Terry. It's only a couple verses, but this is what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart for somebody, for maybe me in here today. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I'll never forget when February 2nd, 2014, I was at First Baptist Jensen. I'd gotten help get them through a transition, been working with the new pastor, Brad, for a while, and they brought me in the office and said, you know, we appreciate everything you've done. We know the direction that we want to go with now with the church, so we're going to reappropriate all the finances associated with you and your ministry, and you don't have to come to work anymore. I'm like, oh, I've never had a situation like that. I'm like, so they're like, yeah, for 3 months, you got severance, you got all this, but I said, oh, so is this what we're going to tell people? And they're like, no, you're not going to tell them anything because you just signed a no-compete contract. And I'm like, what? I don't even know what all this is. And it was like, and I'm just totally confused. Can we have your keys? And then you come back and we're going to help you undo your office the whole night. And I was like, I don't get this situation. I'm totally confused on this whole thing. And I start implementing this prayer. And I'm on my way out of the driveway, out of the prayer, and I'm just like, God, why should I be thankful that this just happened? And you know what God told me? He said, well, your son, you know how last year when your daughter was going to college, and because you had a job, and you had only been married to one woman, and all of these other things that you have, and you pay your bills, you know how all of that was happening? And you didn't get any financial aid for her? Well, guess what? This year, you have no job. And you're going to get lots of financial aid. That's what God gave me. I'm just telling you. I'm at the Jensen, getting ready to pull out onto Jensen Beach Boulevard. And he's like, now you don't have a job or anything. So your kid's going to get lots of financial aid. And I'm like, I just laughed. And I said, God, you got the rest of this. I got no clue. I had no clue he was going to plant a church on the beach and I'd get a pastor. Such great folks as you. I had no idea all that was going down. No idea. But I supplicated and asked him, why should I be grateful for this very situation bringing me anxiety? And he just made me laugh because he knew that's what I needed at the time. Sometimes he'll do that. Sometimes he'll give you a real good reason why to be grateful, and you'll be like, wow, oh my goodness, that's awesome. But don't miss supplicating. Don't miss praying. Don't miss supplicating. And definitely don't miss asking him why to be grateful. Because you know what the next part of that verse says? Or the next verse, it says, worry about nothing, have anxiety about nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. And with supplication, with thanksgiving. And he said, with those things, let your requests be made known to God. And he says, then, you know what then means? After you've done those first things, he said, then the peace of God, Chuck, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Did that mean my situation was going to change? Oh, we were just joking. Here's your keys back. No. Whatever the situation in my life is, it doesn't matter. Because then the peace of God. Now, you know what peace of God is, y'all? I've been good to see you. I'm so glad you guys are back, man. And you know what the peace of God is? It's a peace that's inside that nobody can change. And the situation probably hasn't even changed. But you have a peace about it. So now what are you worried about? Well, here's what, if you're worried about anything, here's what you're worried about, that you're not worrying. You get that? If you're worried about anything, just because you were a habitual worrier and you got to worry about something, who are you? Let me see your hand. You got to worry about something. Right. Yeah. So all you're worried about now is the fact that you got nothing to worry about. Isn't that much better? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard, will preserve your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I got to just go with the rest of this story. And some of y'all have heard this. I know Cindy heard it in the boat parking lot not too long ago. We were talking, but back in the day, when I pastored at Webster, I was a young pastor, and there were these four deacons that were old dudes that ran the church. And then they had three, each of them had sons that were running the church too. They were training them to run the church. And they gave me a parsonage. That's how they could make it like a sharecropper thing, because they only paid me like 16 grand, and they had a parsonage where I could live, so I could never afford to leave. I had to do whatever they wanted to do and whatever. And that's not my style. I'm working for God, not them. And these guys brought me in. The front of my house was the office. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting at my desk. Linda and all them are, they're over at Potluck. You know, that's what, they all ate food during, you know, on Wednesday night. And I'll never forget these guys sitting in front of me. And they're like, "You can't preach, boy. You're about the sorriest preacher I ever heard. Man, I can't believe you did, blah, blah, blah." And I'm just like, and I started laughing. How many of y'all laugh when you get nervous and in trouble? At school, dude. Yeah, I just like started laughing, and I'm like, he's like, "What's so funny?" And what I was doing was I was learning this verse: worry about nothing, pray about everything. And with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm getting ready to preach this in a couple of weeks, and I'm learning it. And I said, here's the verse I'm going to be preaching, and probably not very good according to you guys, but I'm going to be preaching it in a few weeks. And I said, and I shared it with them, and I said, "So I was just here saying, God, why should I be thankful for these old deacons blasting me right now?" And they looked at me and said, and they're like, they were perplexed. And I said, "You know why I'm grateful? Because 5 years ago I wasn't saved, and I'd have taken that baseball bat and I'd have whacked every one of you in the head with it." They look, their sons behind them who are being trained to be the next deacons, they laugh, but not with their dad seeing. And they got up and they stormed out. They were upset. And again, I was learning in all of this. I'm not saying that's how we do things, but I applied that verse. And then I got to tell you the next part. So the next day, I'm going to visit all my shut-ins. That's what you do as a country preacher. You go visit all the shut-in ladies on one day. And they're like making you pies and cakes and, "Dude, you weigh 300 pounds because, well, you ate this much at Effie's house. You ate two pieces there. You got to eat three here," and whatever. Well, this one lady, Mabel Kendrick, never forget her. She had a 50-year-old. She's like 80-something. She had a 50-year-old son, 51-year-old son, Donald, and he was challenged, mentally retarded. He was challenged. I'm not sure what it's called anymore, but back then he was mentally retarded. And she took care of him. Everybody said, "Mabel, you got to put him in a nursing home. You got to do it." She said, "No, this is my call in life. This is what I do. This is what I'm doing. I take care of my son." So all the farmers, it's out in Webster where the villages are now. Back then it was country, dude. And the farmers would all bring her produce. Well, the week before, I walked in and she had all these big, juicy peaches. Oh, Terry just walked out. Terry brings us peaches from where? It's like South Carolina. These are them big. Any of y'all ever eat them big, juicy peaches? I'm not talking about the fake ones they sell now, but man, you ever eat them peaches where you bite into them and it's just dripping down your arm? Oh, I would visit with her and then she left me with peaches. And I'm carrying these peaches out to my little truck and I'm putting them on the seat of my truck. And I'm eating most of them as I'm driving around and saving a few for my family when I get home. And I'm eating these peaches and eating them the week before, and they're so good. So the next day I go to Mabel, after this deacon thing, I go to Mabel's house,
And I'm like, oh, that Mabel make me feel better, man. And I went into Mabel's and I'm expecting more peaches. She's got to have more peaches. And I opened the door and I saw no peaches anywhere. Oh my, how disappointing can life be? Deacons rip you apart one night. Mabel ain't got no peaches the next day. I mean, I'm not just like, oh, Mabel, you got any peaches? I said, I'm here to see you, but you got any peaches? And she says, oh, honey, I got all kinds of peaches. I'm like, where are they? She said, open them cabinets. And she had wall-to-wall cabinets from the floor to the ceiling. And I opened those cabinets. And as I was opening those cabinets, I saw ball jars, mason jars, full of peaches that she had. What had she done with them? Preserved them, canned them and preserved them. And they were there, and they were all over, all filling the wall. So I visited with her, but I got to say, I was kind of, my mind was on the peaches, and I'm visiting with her. She sends me out with a whole bunch of cans of ball jars or mason jars full of peaches. I put those on my seat of my truck. Now, before I got into Mabel's house, I had reached under the seat of my truck, and I had found a peach that had been rolling around about a week underneath my truck. Under the seat. How many of y'all know, you ever found anything under the seat of your truck? Dude, you know what it's covered with? Everything that's under the seat of your truck. And so I pulled that peach out before I went to visit Mabel. I pulled that peach out and it was nasty. And I just threw it in her yard because that's what you do in the country, man. Not in your nice home subdivision yard, but in the country, you just throw it out there. It's fertilizer. Something's going to eat it. And so here I am sitting in my truck and I look at these ball jars going, oh, these are going to be good. And then I look over at that Cheryl peach and God spoke to me. To my heart. He said, which one would you rather be? Would you rather be that shriveled old peach, or would you rather be this beautiful one in the can,
in the jars? And I was like, oh God, I'd much rather be the one in the jars. And he said, but how many times do you start out a day trying to be like that fresh peach right there, and yet you turn into that shriveled up peach right there? And I'm like, all the time I get a phone call, I get somebody knock on the door, I get an email, I get something. I get somebody come up to me, and I turn into that shriveled up peach when I wanted to be the sweet one. Did that happen to any of y'all? You ever start out the day sweet, and then something comes in and just makes you all shriveled up, moldy-looking peach? He's like, which one do you think the world wants to see? Which one represents me? And I'm like, I get it. And he said, what's the difference between these two? And I said, well, this one's been preserved. He said, how long can this one roll around underneath your truck if it don't get broke? How long can it roll around under the seat and stay fresh? And I said, until it's needed to be used. And the difference is it's preserved. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. With supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will preserve your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That prayer will preserve your heart and your mind. It's the difference between you staying fresh and juicy when God wants to use you and you being all shriveled up and moldy. And that was, Ashley, how old were you then? 6 years, 6 weeks old, 6 months old, something like that? Yeah, that's how long ago that God taught me this. So I know some of y'all heard all this before, but for some reason, Holy Spirit wants somebody to hear this today. Maybe it's me. And so worry about nothing, pray about everything. With supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will preserve your heart and your mind. Your heart's where you make decisions, right? How many of y'all ever had your heart set on something? And then people tell you, no. Have your heart set on it. And then your heart's set on it. You're going to justify it, aren't you? How many of y'all ever bought a boat that everybody told you not to buy? No, I'm just saying. Everybody meaning your wife. No, I'm just saying. It's like, how many of y'all ever, they say no, but your heart's set on it. You got to preserve your heart with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, with this system, this way of talking to God that he gives us. He protects our heart and our mind, which is the battlefield between God and the devil. That's where it starts. It's up in our mind. So getting now back to the shepherds, look at the 23rd Psalm. Man, the shepherd's gone through a lot of trouble to make a green pasture. But there's bugs in life. Sheep can't take care of the bugs. Who's got to take care of the bugs, y'all? The shepherd. And the shepherd goes through a lot of trouble to take care of the bugs in your life. But then, guess what we do? we now start focusing on the beast in our life, the big things. And we still can't lay down and relax and hang out and enjoy the green pasture. Do you understand? What are we supposed to worry about, y'all? Laura, what are we supposed to worry about? Nothing. How's that going for y'all? He's made us a green pasture. We're supposed to worry about nothing. We're supposed to trust him like a child. Hey, does Alana worry about you guys being able to pay the electric bill? No, why? It's not her responsibility. She just like counts on flicking the light on and there it goes. That's us with our Heavenly Father. We trust him. So the shepherd would then go on and say, all right, I've taken care of the bugs. I've taken care of the beasts. So now you got no problems in your life. So this brings us to the message. And I'm probably only going to cover one verse in this, but man, oh, who can I get, man? Who can I get here? I always use Terry. How many times have you been used for this illustration? And just probably five times. Ben, come on up. Ben and Terry, come on up, man. You're two prize rams, two prize sheep in the sheepfold, man. All right? So for those of you who haven't experienced this, all right, so they start out liking each other, but then they start, look, hey, we're about the same size. Ben's a new sheep in the sheepfold. And not only is he a new one, but he comes and he looks like a snowbird like a couple years ago. And then he says he's from where, Terry? Oh, my goodness, from California. It's like, oh, Lord, have mercy. We can't have this in our politics, man. And then Ben's like, no, but I'm not trying to be a cop. We're reformed Floridians, man. We're like, you know, we want to be Floridians. And so they still aren't real sure, but now they're looking and sizing each other up. Ben, come on over here, man. They're sizing each other up, and they're like, well, you know what? One of us has to be the biggest, baddest sheep in the sheepfold, right? Isn't that what happens? Isn't that what happens on your job? Isn't that what happens in your condo association? It happens in your neighborhood. It happens in your own home. Somebody's got Alana and Keone. Alana's the alpha female. You have to fight against her for that, right? And Keone thinks he's the alpha male. And yeah, watching you guys, like, just trying to put them in their place is like nuts. You've made, got taken care of their bugs, taken care of their bees. And now they have something called a what? A budding order. Everybody say budding order. Yeah, so you got two prize sheep. You know what these guys could do in a sheepfold? You know how many sheep they could make? I'm just saying, no, that's what their job would be if they were sheep. All right, but you've done a fine job of making your own sheepfold. Both of y'all, man. Thanks for making a son to marry my daughter, you know. But they got, dude, you know the value these guys could bring to the sheepfold? And now I'm the shepherd, and I'm like, yes, dude, look at this stud ram and this stud ram. Oh, it's so awesome having them. And I'm back there sitting in my lazy boy, and all of a sudden, I look out the window, and I see these two guys looking at each other cross. Can you look at each other cross? And all of a sudden now, they kind of bow down. They bow down. Go ahead, bow down. And shine your head up a little bit. Get ready. All right. And then I'm watching from my window my two prize sheep in the sheepfold, and they start running at each other. Just do it in slow motion, man. Bam! They whack each other in the head. They both fall back. They both fall back. And they shake it off. Ah, you didn't get me. That didn't hurt. And then they do it again. Slow motion, don't really hurt yourself. Bam! And each time they fall back farther. And then they do it again and again and again and again until what happens? One of them. Which one of y'all are going to fall? Okay. Yeah, one of them says, I've had enough. I've had enough. And then so Ben's over there. Oh, yeah, baby, I got it now. But then what's going to happen next? Where's Marley? Come here, Marley. Now you got some cocky little adolescent ram thinking he's all this. And so Marley comes up. This guy's out. I've already lost one of my prize sheep. Now I got an up-and-coming one. And here they go. Go ahead, man. Here they go. Boom. And bam. And they do it again and again. Do you see what I'm saying, y'all? All right, give these guys a hand, man. Thank you, guys. There's no budding order in the kingdom. And here's what this guy, this shepherd, would talk about. He's like, I've taken care of the bugs. I've taken care of the beasts. I mean, think about a shepherd taking care of the beasts. He put his life at risk. and doing all of this for to take care of things. And then now his prized sheep that are supposed to be representing him in the fold, where everybody says, he's my shepherd, I don't need anything. Oh yeah, then why are you butting heads with the other sheep? You must need something. You must need some pride. You must need some status. You must need something that you can't get from God. And that's not really even possible. If you need something you can't get from God, guess what? You don't need it unless you're in the world. The world's always looking for stuff they can't get from God. And so, man, how does the shepherd feel? He'd watch these sheep. And so he's thinking, what in the world do I do? What do you think the shepherd would have to do to get his two prized sheep, his two prized rams to stop butting heads? What do you think he'd have to do? Put electric fence between them? Separate them? Sell one of them? Put them in the other thing? No, here's what he said. He said, all I had to do to get my sheep to stop fighting, I'd walk up as the shepherd to the fence, and I'd lean up on the fence. And when I leaned on the fence, this ram would look at me and compare himself to me and say, wow, it doesn't really matter who's the biggest, baddest sheep in the sheepfold. I think I'm going to go lay down. This ram would look at the shepherd and say, it doesn't really matter who's the biggest, baddest sheep in the sheepfold. I think I'm going to go lay down. And all he'd have to do as a shepherd was lean against the fence. And when both the prideful sheep with the butting order would look at the shepherd, they'd quit fighting. So what's the answer for us when we've got that budding? How many of y'all experienced budding? All right, no, not you. How many of y'all have ever seen somebody experience budding order? Even if it was a mirror, you don't have to admit that right now, but yeah. So what's the problem? The problem is we try to live like the world. The world has to find value in themselves by competing. That's the only thing they got. Well, I'm better than you. Well, my yard looks nicer than you. Think about the stupid stuff we compete about. You know, my car shines better than yours. My bike is faster than yours. My surfboard was made by Chuck and yours is made in China. It's like, you know, like, whatever. We compete about everything because we got in the world, we got to figure out how to find value in ourselves. And our value is defined by the world. But when we read the Word of God and we become believers, we have a different value. What makes something valuable? What makes something valuable? Yeah. Thank you, JJ. Exactly. What somebody is willing to pay for it, that makes you have value. You can have a Mickey Mantle card, man. If nobody wants to buy it, man, it's going in the trash, bro. Somebody wants to offer you $1 million, it's worth $1 million. Someone offers you $10, it's worth $10. It's worth what somebody's willing to pay for. The world, that's why they've got to come up with their own value system. They're only worth what somebody's willing to pay for. They're only worth whatever status they can achieve. But as believers, Kenny, what are we worth? What did Christ pay for you, my brother? Could he have paid a higher price for you, Kenny? So how valuable are you? You are the most valuable person in the kingdom of God because Christ paid the most he could pay for anyone for you. He could not have paid any more for you than he did pay for you. And so that's your value. So do we need, how about y'all? Where'd y'all come from? Y'all come from Nevada or somewhere? What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas or... Oh, well, I don't really know, but I. Different Target and Walmart. Which one's the Walmart? Vegas? Oh, Target people. All right, I got you, man. No, but. Yeah. Well, regardless. What did he pay for you, man? He paid it all. You have that. Who's the most important? Which one of you is the most important person in the kingdom? The most valuable person in the kingdom? Yeah. And you can say me, every one of Matthew. Yeah, every one of us can say me because that's what he paid for us. That's where our value is in what Christ paid for us. There's no butting order. We don't have to bang heads with other people in this world when we see life from God's perspective, amen? So look at this verse right here. We're only going to look at one, and that's good because that's all I really wanted to preach on, but God gave me all of them last night when I finally was going through everything. But in this revival through Romans, there's no budding order in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Lucinda, are you worth more than Tom? Tom, are you worth more than Lucinda? No. What makes you worth anything is that Christ paid for it. Hey, somebody once, we were talking on Monday Night Bible Study, and said, what are you looking for? What's the most awesome thing about heaven? And somebody said, oh, I want to rub elbows with like Paul and Peter and those guys. And I said, you know, you're going to be equal with Moses and all those guys because they got into heaven the same way you did. There's no budding order in the kingdom of God. We're all bought with a price. We're all bought with Christ's blood, with what Christ did on the cross. So there's no budding order. So here's what Scripture tells us to do. Welcome each other like Christ has welcomed you. So when, in fact, let's just look at the verse in verse 7. He says, therefore, it's a continuation of last week, welcome. And that word welcome actually means accept. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you for the glory of God. So again, Jules, when you finish yawning, you can answer his question. You did it right as I was looking at you, man. How could I let that slide, man? So look what this says. Accept everyone, or accept one another, welcome everyone, accept one another as Christ has accepted you, because God gets glory out of it. So Austin, you have to accept Austin. You have to accept Austin because were you what made you accepted by Christ? Why did Christ accept you? Because of what he did on the cross. He accepted you because he chose you. He loved you. Well, how was Austin accepted by Christ? The exact same way. And what about Selma? Now, you know, Selma and I got different seats in heaven there, but I'm just messing. But so who was accepted differently by Christ? Or were we all accepted the same way by Christ? Yeah, and that's how, as she rolls her eyes, we were all accepted the same way. You don't really believe that, do you? Yeah, I do. There's other people like you here. This is what our issue is that we've got to come to. Dude, whoever you look at that's a believer, they were accepted by God the exact same way as you. And so that's what we do. We're like, oh, yeah, they're not like me. Oh, yeah, they're like, you know. Or sometimes we're like, oh, they're much more better than me or whatever. Both ways it goes. But it's all level at the foot of the cross. We're all accepted by Christ the same way. That's why he says we're all different. Aren't you glad we're different? You know, this like, man, what was your name again with the cool hair? No. Yeah. What was your name again? You guys come like, what was your name again? Tina? Dude, Tina's got cool hair, man. Kenny, I'd love to see you with her hair, bro. Would you love to see you with Kenny's hair? Kenny's a bald-headed one, right? Yeah, all right, I'm just saying. Yeah. And David over here, his just fell down to his face, man. It's like, some of y'all got it on your back. I'm just like, it's like, it's all. But what I'm saying is, you know what, we look at people who are different and we're just like, Be honest. When we're in the world and we look at things through world standards, that's how we look at things. But we've got to look, and I almost brought a mirror, Alana's mirror that she plays with. I almost brought a mirror just so you could look in the mirror at yourself and see how you were accepted by Christ. And then look at the next person and see how they were accepted by Christ. And the next person and see how they were accepted by Christ. And guess what? We were all accepted by Christ if we were accepted by Christ, but the same way. So why do we think we're better than anybody? Why would we have a budding order? Because we have a misconception on our value. Our value comes from what Christ paid for us. And as believers, we were all purchased with his price. So we give him glory with everything. Amen? Therefore, welcome, accept one another as Christ has welcomed you. Selma, man, you ever look at it and say, man, I don't know what God saw in me. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, why in the world would, how many of y'all ever thought, why would Christ accept me? You find out something new about yourself. How many of y'all ever found out something new and you're like, ooh, you know? Why would Christ accept me? Because he chose you and he loves you. And man, you're no better than anyone else. You're just different. And aren't you glad you're different? But you're accepted by him. Therefore, because of that, in the body of Christ, we don't need any budding order. We need to welcome each other as Christ has welcomed us. If Christ was good enough to bring you in and good enough to bring somebody else, man, who are you to judge them? Now, again, we're not talking about doctrinal order. We're not talking about doctrinal situations. We're talking about just judgment, looking. We have doctrine in Scripture, and we try to help each other stay true to the doctrine that we find in the Word of God. But I don't think that's the issue most of the time. Most of the time, it's just somebody different. They live a lifestyle a little different. They look a little different. They act a little different. They live in a different way. They're just different, and it doesn't make us feel comfortable. It's time to get comfortable. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And what's it for, y'all? For the glory of God. Could you imagine? You were a pastor, right? Did you ever have any church fights? How long are you? You're still pastor, right? How long have you been pastoring? 30 years, me too, bro. And 30 years. How many church fights have we ever seen? His wife's laughing right now. Bill, how many church fights you ever seen? Yeah, and how many of you church members, how many church fights you ever seen? Yeah, over stupid stuff. Where we're trying to get our value out of the same way the world gets it. What if the world saw us bunch of weirdos? Do you know, the person who doesn't care for you, they think you're a weirdo. That's why they don't, they're looking at you, you're weird. You talk funny like you're from Brazil or somewhere, man. You know, you must be a Canadian. Oh, my goodness. And California, he stayed. I'm just saying, and I'm grateful he did because his son married my daughter, and he's awesome. But literally, man, the world's got to come up with that budding order. We don't. What if the world saw us all truly accepting each other as believers and loving each other? You think they'd freak out? Yeah. And that's what God wants them to do. He wants to use you to freak the world out by loving each other. Amen? But you can only do that if you have Christ in you. So that's who it's been addressed to, is that. And been addressed to believers. But if you're not a believer, if you've never given your life to Christ, he's never given you a desire and ability to surrender everything you know about yourself to him, you're stuck in the world system. You got to get your value from beating up somebody else mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever. If you want to change that, you have a desire. If you have a desire to give your life to Christ, it's because he's giving you that desire. You can't do it without him doing it. He's giving you the desire. He's giving you the desire. He's giving you the ability to surrender yourself to him. And I want to encourage you to do that today if you haven't. Because having Christ and living the way Christ wants us is way better. I can tell you that. I did it in June 27, 1988, and I wouldn't trade a single day of it. Wish I would have done it sooner, like many of you. So here's what we learn. I don't even have notes for many of this, you guys. The shepherds walk, look at the 23rd Psalm. The Lord, man, he's our what? And because he's our shepherd taking care, our whole existence, the quality of our existence is dependent on him. Could we have a better shepherd? No. So because he's our shepherd, you can say, I shall not. I'm not hearing you say that. I shall not want, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. So there, when your wife's waking up from your nap this afternoon, say, I'm lying down in a green pasture. Leave me alone. But he's making you lie down. But lying down in the green pasture is being able to rest as you're walking through life. Relaxing as you walk through life. He's got it. Bob, you remember when you first got saved? You first got saved right during COVID and all of that. And I saw you and you were like telling me, all my buddies, man, because he's a mechanic and all this. He's like, all my buddies think I'm just high now because I don't care. And it's just like, the things don't bother you like they used to. Why? Because your shepherd's got it all under control. So if you've got some bugs in your life right now, and that spoke to you, quit trying to take care of the bugs yourself. I just want you to imagine you have a hoof, and you're trying to whack a bug that's on your forehead. That's what the damage you're doing. Let him take care of the bugs. How do we let him take care of it? We worry about nothing and we, dear God, I got these bugs in my life. I got these bugs. God, take care of them, please. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but you show me how to take care of them. Maybe the bugs are taken care of, but you got the beasts. And so how do you take care of them? Who's got to take care of them? He does. And how does he take care of them? By you praying. Again, worry about nothing, pray about everything. God, I got these beasts in my life. I don't know how they're taking care of. I don't know when it's going to take care of. I don't know. But God, I don't care because you're my shepherd and you're going to take care of these things. Show me what I need to do. And if I just need to rest, then that's what I need to do. But God, you're the one that got to take care of these. And Lord God, would you reveal to me where I'm trying to find my value the same way the world's finding their value by comparing myself to others. Show me where I'm in some kind of a budding order with somebody. And God, I've seen how ridiculous that is. Instead, let me help that brother or sister. Help us become one so the world can see what it's like to have Christian unity. Not compromising our doctrines, but have this unity where we love each other. How many of y'all know that's a hard thing to do? So we pray and ask God to take care of the bugs, the beasts, and the biting. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Only thing y'all got to worry about is what? That you're not worrying, right? That's all you got to worry about now. It will preserve your heart and mind. It will keep you a nice, sweet, juicy peach instead of being that old shriveled up one that's been rolling under the truck seat. So that's what we've got to do. And I can tell you, this is not what I plan on preaching. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me today for us. So you figure out what God wants you to do with it. I'm going to do the same. Let's pray. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I'm so grateful that I can come in that name and know that I'm accepted by you. I'm so grateful to know that if I'm a disobedient sheep, you go as far as breaking my legs and carrying me around until I get healed and understand how much you love me and what intimacy with you really is. Father, I'm grateful that you're my shepherd and I don't need to want anything. And when I do want things and I am discontent, Father, help me realize that I'm finding my value the way the world does. And help me remember what you paid for me. Father, I pray you would just help us to be content sheep. I pray, Father, that the world who doesn't have you, I pray they would look into our lives and see the peace and the joy, the patience, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the self-control. I pray, Father, that they would see that and that they would poke their head through the barbed wire wanting a piece of what we have. And then we can call you over and you'll take wire cutters and snap that barbed wire and invite them in to live for you also. Father, that's what our life's supposed to be about. So, Father, a lot of things got talked about today and I just know your Holy Spirit will take this and work in the hearts of everyone that has heard it, whether they're here or Bedside Baptist. Father, I'm just grateful you're our God, and thank you for putting these words in my mouth. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.